Another telling sign you are likely experiencing a sensitivity or intolerance versus an actual reaction is these effects occur upon first exposure to the drug itself. While the sensitivity may yield uncomfortable and even inconvenient side effects, many medications can still be taken safely to treat the conditions they were prescribed for. It boils down to visiting with your doctor in weighing the benefits versus the unpleasant side effects, and if continuing the medication in question is necessary. If the medication carries more pros than cons in taking it, your doctor might be able to offset the negative side effects by modifying your dose or changing to a different type of medication altogether. In reality, true drug allergies account for only 5% to 10% of all adverse reactions to medications. What sets a drug allergy from drug sensitivity is that it directly involves the immune system. Like other items put into or on our body, such as foods, lotions, or chemicals, at times they respond to these agents by recognizing them as threats instead of helpful. This triggers an immune response that can vary from mild symptoms to a full anaphylactic shock. The thing about drug allergies is that they impact the entire body. More of the common symptoms with an allergy often include full body rashes, hives, itching, and even swelling. Swelling is an indicator that these conditions are likely to extend into a more serious allergic reaction, known as anaphylaxis, a potentially life-threatening condition, especially if not treated immediately. Some of the less common symptoms can include runny nose, sneezing, and congestion of sinuses. Even more uncommon than, but just as alarming as swelling, are symptoms such as difficulty breathing, fever, and or inflammation of the lungs, joints, or kidneys. The other difference among an allergy versus sensitivity is an allergy is progressive, meaning the more you are exposed to a drug your body is allergic to, the more severe the symptoms become with each subsequent exposure. Of course, there are very rare instances where the body can react quickly and violently, anaphylaxis, to a drug after one exposure. However, the vast majority of allergic events occur when the body has repeated exposures to these medications in which the body has an allergy to. Therefore, it's very important to share with your doctor and or healthcare provider anytime you experience symptoms in which your entire body has been affected. Drug allergies can progress to medical emergencies. Therefore, it is important to understand the differences between allergies versus sensitivity. Any and all medications your body is allergic to should not be taken again to avoid the progressive and cumulatively more dangerous effects from the allergic reaction from the drug. Our body chemistry varies from one person to the next, so being able to differentiate symptoms between an allergic reaction and drug sensitivity is important. In either case, your physician should be made aware of any negative interactions medications have to your body so the best course of treatment can be made. Broadly and incorrectly, classifying all adverse side effects as allergic can unintentionally limit medications you may need later down the road. Drug allergy is a red flag to healthcare practitioners, of which most will err on the side of caution by not giving certain medications, especially if an allergy is even suspected. Mark of Excellence. PHS Men's Choir is Right in Tune by Ruth Campbell, RCAMPBELL at OAOA.com. Above, Permian Choir student 15-year-old Mason Simmons practices singing alongside 17-year-old Rowley McCrary and 17-year-old Lane Arendt Tuesday afternoon at Permian High School. Left, Associate Director of Choirs Jeb Harris plays the piano as members of the Permian Choir sing along Tuesday afternoon at Permian High School. Harris was the assistant director under Kenneth Seeloff, but will be directing the varsity choir this year, along with Black Magic and Permian's non-varsity men's choir. The Cantus, Permian High School's varsity men's choir, hit all the right notes when it was selected as the national winner in the 2020 Mark of Excellence National Choral Honor Project. The Mark of Excellence is a national music competition that recognizes music programs and their ensembles for high standards in performance, a news release said. Ensembles are judged by nationally respected adjudicators, with the top quarter being named as national winners. The project received 145 entries in all classifications and entries from 38 states. The news came on the heels of last year's invitation for the PHS Men's Choir to perform at the Southwest Division Conference of the American Choral Directors Association. Associate Director of Choirs Jeb Harris said there were about 60 in the group that earned the honor. Harris said about half the boys in the Cantus are still at PHS and half have graduated. The recognition really comes from just having an excellent recording and an excellent performance, which was what happened in Little Rock. The performance in Little Rock was at what's called SWACDA, which is the Southwestern American Choral Directors Association. So it's kind of like the divisional chapter of the National Choir Directors Association, Harris said. They just had an excellent performance. They were invited, of course, then their performance was deemed outstanding. They got two standing ovations during the concert, which is really rare at a convention like that, so it was really awesome. There were six songs in the whole concert, so it was 25 minutes long. Choirs are rotated through quickly, Harris said. They were six very difficult songs, harder than they would normally do in a normal choir year, so they had all year to learn them as well, he added. He noted that he was not surprised at how well the Cantus did. When you hear your students every day, you start to only hear them through that lens, so it's cool when you hear other people hearing them and being so impressed. I sat in the audience because I wasn't conducting, and the audience was very impressed, so I'm actually not surprised, Harris said. Getting the mark of excellence, he added, is almost like a stamp of approval. It's kind of a mark that we're doing some things right, and that we just have some outstanding students in ECISD who are willing to take on a challenge like that, Harris said. He added that the preparation involved many hours and days of rehearsal. Last year, Harris said he assisted Director of Choirs Kenneth Seeloff with the Cantus. This year, Harris is directing them. Harris also directs the non-varsity men and the Black Magic Band. Stephanie Burton directs the varsity women, non-varsity women, and teaches music theory. Seeloff directs Cantori, the varsity mixed choir, and the Black Magic vocalists. Luke Bland, a senior, and juniors Trent Avery and Kyler Fife are members of the Cantus and helped the group bring home their distinction. I thought it was an honor, Bland said. Being from Odessa, Texas, we're known for football, and then getting invited to this event in Arkansas, I just thought it was really cool, and Seeloff really coached us up really well this year through a lot of practice to get where we were. Fife said he thought it was meaningful just to see that their hard work paid off from last year. I can't tell you how many hours of practice we put in for that event, and I think we were all just really excited to see that we actually got something out of it, Fife said. Avery said the win was shocking because Odessa is an oil field town, and there was a wow factor to the group's accomplishment. Bland said the experience was good for the group because it brought them closer together. Avery said the experience opens a lot of doors and broadens the students' horizons. We all come from different backgrounds, We have football players. We have band. We have baseball, basketball, all types of different people in this class. And we all just came together as one to sing as one voice, Bland said. Seeloff said, anytime you have an ensemble that's invited to a conference, it immediately confers recognition state and nationwide. It makes it known that we are among the top in the state and in the country, and that our standards are high enough to compete with the best of them, Seeloff said. Principal Delisa Stiles and Director of Fine Arts Erin Hawley were very proud of the Cantus. Stiles said she heard about the Fine Arts and Football program at PHS at the same time. It's an exceptional honor, Stiles said. I'm privileged to be in the presence of such greatness, and I'm just delighted to be here to share in the joy. It's a testament to their hard work. I've seen firsthand already their work ethic, and it's commendable. Hawley said he's pleased by the entire crew. It's real easy during COVID to kind of give in and let up, but it's obvious that they're pushing forward and doing exceptionally well, Hawley added. Director of Choirs Kenneth Seeloff conducts the choir as they warm up Tuesday afternoon. Seeloff directed the Cantus Choir that was selected as the national winner in the 2020 Mark of Excellence National Choral Honor Project. Ben Powell, Odessa American. Master Gardeners, Home Remedies to Keep Snails, Slugs Out of Your Garden by Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. Several years ago, I lucked into a 6 foot in diameter tub from the recycling center. It's about 30 inches tall and already had a hole in the bottom, so it was the perfect bed to grow all different kinds of greens. Since it was to be a food source, I would be able to really monitor what went into the soil. I began adding compost, wood chips, potting soil, and every food scrap from my kitchen, no dairy or meat. This is the third year, and now I have a foot of soil growing all types of spinach, Swiss chard, lettuce, and collards. Midsummer, I noticed a vine trying to take over the bed. It was full of blooms, so I let it grow. Sure enough, it is some type of melon growing from food scraps. While trying to figure out what kind it is, I picked it up, and the underneath was covered in snails who were eating into the melon. So, what to do about slugs and snails? There are commercial products on the market, but since we will be eating the produce, I'm looking for another way. Here are some of the options I found. Pick them off. Yuck! Wear latex gloves and go to your garden an hour or two after the sun goes down, or very early in the morning. Bring a flashlight. Check in any shady area. They like the dark. While you're there, check for eggs as well. They appear in clusters, are colorless, and about the size of a BB. You can also make a vinegar solution, equal parts vinegar and water, and spray directly on the snail or slug. Pour cornmeal in small piles around your garden. They eat it. It expands in their stomach and kills them. Another option is to put cornmeal in a jar and lay it on its side. They will crawl in and have their last meal. Diatomaceous earth is a natural product that has fine edges that the snails and slugs don't like. If it rains, you will need to reapply. It is less effective when wet. Coffee grounds. They don't like the smell and will stay away from it. It doesn't kill them, though, and they may revisit. Bonus, coffee grounds are good for your garden. Copper surfaces. They don't like copper. Several sources said that it gives them a mild electric shock. If you don't have copper pieces laying around your house, try throwing in some pennies. It is important to take care of snails or slugs as soon as you see them. They are hermaphrodites, female and male, and lay eggs up to 6 times a year. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa, or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Texas Master Gardeners. We are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Visit westtexasgardening.org. Prime time to pick pecans. As we move into the cooler months, it is time to begin harvesting pecans. Texas is a large contributor to pecan production in the United States, producing approximately 60 million pounds. Our warm climate and mild winters make our area a great place to grow pecans. When pecans are ready to harvest, the outer green husk will peel away, revealing the nut. If the pecan is dropping green nuts still in the husk, this can be caused by pests knocking them down. Sometimes the tree will naturally purge itself of excess fruit for improvement of the quality of its fruit. When harvesting pecans, the most used tool is a trunk shaker, and it does just that, shakes the trunk, making all the ripe pecans fall to the floor. Harvesters then come by and pick up the pecans along with twigs and leaves. It is then run through cleaners to separate out the pecans. Pecans have many health benefits. This has led to an increase in their popularity. Pecans contain over 19 vitamins and minerals, including vitamins A and E, as well as calcium and zinc. Pecans are also commonly used in many recipes and go great in many desserts. If you are going to take pecans from your own trees, you can boil your pecans for 10 minutes, drain, and let them cool for 10 minutes. This should make them easier to crack and enjoy. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland. Email jeanette.castanone@ag.tamu.edu. That's jeanette.castanone@ag.tamu.edu. Or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Jeanette Castanone. Castanone is a horticulturist with Texas AgriLife Extension Service. She can be reached at 686-4700 or by email at jeanette.castanone@ag.tamu.edu. Pets of the Week. Mako, a three-month-old male kitten, needs to be adopted into a good home. Mako is a yellow tabby with brown eyes and looks very alert. Rosie, a three-year-old female chihuahua, needs to be adopted into a good home. Rosie has a yellow face, yellow chest, with brown over her eyes and brown markings on her back. To adopt Mako or Rosie or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 381-5503, visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract, along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50. Photos courtesy of Odessa Humane Society.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. A new fall favorite, Bacon Maple Popcorn, by Brenda Garcia, MSRD, United Supermarkets Lifestyle Desk. The The next time you are cooking up some bacon, save the drippings to use for this next recipe. Yes, we said bacon. So now that we have your attention, let's look at what we will be snacking on. Sometimes certain foods can get a bad reputation for various reasons. One food that has definitely been a victim of neglect in the snacked world is popcorn. Because popcorn is a product of corn, it is typically thought of as bad and high in carbohydrates. We're here to shed new light on this delicious product. Disclaimer here, we are not talking about the salty, buttery popcorn we get at the movie theater. We're talking about popcorn that you make yourself at home and you control what you add to it. There are so many great benefits to eating popcorn, but one of the best things about this food is that it contains fiber. People who are following a carb-controlled diet are welcome to partake in eating popcorn. Since it is made from corn, it is considered a whole grain and is a good source of fiber. Foods that are higher in fiber spike blood sugar levels less than lower fiber options. Also, popcorn is considered a low glycemic food. One of our favorite things about popcorn is the incredible serving size you get. A 3-cup portion of popped popcorn is only 15 grams of carbohydrates and roughly 100 calories. That's a lot of popcorn with very little consequences. Now keep in mind that we are adding some sugar here, so it will change the nutritional profile. If that is a concern, you can certainly leave out the chocolate and butterscotch chips. The 1 tablespoon of maple syrup goes far to add sweetness. On the flip side, it helps extend the 1 tablespoon of bacon drippings. So instead of adding several tablespoons of butter or oil, the flavor is extended with the maple and bacon complementing each other while allowing for portion control. In 2020, we encourage you to eat 80-20. That means 80% of the time you eat a healthy diet, 20% of the time you enjoy small indulgence or treats. This popcorn falls into that 20%. We think it's worth it. Plus, it's also great to give you a little energy for an afternoon walk in the crisp fall air. Bacon maple popcorn. Ingredients: 1 bag Simply Pop microwave popcorn, 1 tablespoon bacon drippings melted, 1 tablespoon maple syrup, 1/2 cup butterscotch chips, 1/4 cup semi-sweet chocolate chips, 1/4 cup slivered almonds, 1/4 teaspoon salt. Instructions. Number 1. Pop popcorn according to package directions. 2. Carefully open bag and pour popcorn into large bowl. 3. Stir together bacon drippings and maple syrup. Drizzle over popcorn and toss to coat. Spread popcorn on a large wax paper lined baking sheet. 4. Melt chips about 30 seconds each in microwave, stirring until completely melted. Drizzle over popcorn. 5. Scatter almonds over mixture, set aside for chocolate and butterscotch to set up for about 1 hour, or place in refrigerator for about 15 minutes. Serve immediately. Nutrition. Serves 4, calories 258, protein 2 grams, carbohydrates 18 grams, fiber 0.5 grams, sugar 15 grams, fat 18.5 grams, cholesterol 3 milligrams, sodium 254 milligrams.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
When it's open, Midland County Public Library, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Curbside pickup at Downtown Branch, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Saturday and Sunday mornings, enjoy a variety of religious publications and features. Saturdays at 7 a.m., it's Guidepost Magazine, followed at 8 a.m. with the week's Sunday school lessons. Those are repeated Sundays beginning at 4 a.m. Then Sunday mornings at 6, it's Catholic Today, and at 7, Christianity Today. On Recording Library of West Texas Radio, read by listening.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 56 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-60s. Then, tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Because our regularly scheduled program was not available at broadcast time, we bring you the following special presentation. Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Melanie reading the Big Bend Sentinel, article September 30th, 2020. The Archives in Apartment 14 by Abby Perot. Martha. For decades, artists and employees at the Chinati Foundation would generate paperwork. As it stacked up, it would be swept into boxes and stashed away in apartment 14, a room built into one of the barracks at Chinati Foundation in Fort D.A. Russell. While those who had been around long enough could point you to the box you were looking for, as decades passed, staff turnover meant much of apartment 14's contents were unidentified storage to be rifled through from time to time. Hidden among the bank boxes, folders, and stacks of paper in the dim apartment and storage closets are ephemeral treasures by Donald Judd, documenting the period where he worked through the creation and growth of the Chinati Foundation. Also in the apartment are jottings and ideas from artists in the collection and documents that reveal the history of the institution itself. Through project plans, artist and resident applications, local newspaper clippings, financial documents, and much more. It was the completion of the foundation's master plan in the late 2010s that uncovered a need to process the archive. The foundation and executive director, Jenny Moore, applied for a grant from the Mellon Foundation and received funding for a two-year project from April 2019 to April 2021 to process Chinati's paper archive. It's Hannah Marshall's duty to sort it all out. Marshall initially moved to Marfa to work remotely for an archival software company. Fortuitously, it was around the time the foundation began its search for its first ever full-time archivist. She took the job as archivist and with the help of archive search fellow Hannah Yetwin, has spent over a year and a half in apartment 14. As the pair shifts through 1,000 feet of physical paper, they are identifying